Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Are Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out will remind every student that they were made for more simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes, or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus, and we're here to help with that. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Today, I am going to bring you guys a conversation that I had with one of my best friends, Allie Carter. Allie is a fierce woman who loves Jesus and loves people equally as well. I met Allie a few years ago through my twin sister, Mish, but we formed a relationship and a friendship ourselves when I would go visit Mish at college. Allie was living in the town where Mish was attending school at, and she was actually on staff with Young Life, and we automatically hit it off. Allie is passionate about loving people. And really, she's one of the best humans that I know. It's striking up conversation, being intentional, and asking good questions. She believes in the power of community and lives that out every day as she engages people in a secular workspace, cares for families in her community, and makes sure that each of her friends feels loved. I've been blessed by Allie's friendship, and I've learned a lot about how she does friendship. I think it's really important for you guys to hear some of that reasoning. If you ever get the chance to meet Allie, she'll probably take you out for a cup of coffee and spend hours getting to know your story. I hope that this conversation with Allie really gives you a snapshot at just how powerful it can be to be thoughtful in conversation and to open your heart to friendships, because they really do have the power to change your life. Hey, Allie. Welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. Thanks for being here with us today. I already kind of introed you, who you were, what our relationship is, but I always like to start these interviews and conversations by asking whoever I'm interviewing to give us like a Sparks Notes version of who you are. So tell us who you are, what you're all about, and where we can find you on a daily basis. What does your day-to-day look like?
All right. I'm Allie. I'm originally from Brookfield, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. I went to college at Calvin College, which is now Calvin University, in the greatest city in America, well, in the world, really, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
The world.
The world. You've been there. You know that. And I am now living in Swickley, Pennsylvania, which is a little bubble, is what I call it, of Pittsburgh. I work at a pediatric therapy company over in Moon as their front desk coordinator.
Moon is a town.
Yeah,
Moon is a for everyone listening.
That's true. It is a town. I'm not on the moon. I wish I was on the moon. yeah, I live with Sammy's identical twin sister, Mish, right now. But yeah, I am all about, obviously, Jesus, but coffee. Lots and lots of coffee.
As we're sitting here having this conversation, it has a venti Starbucks.
Yes. I love the Starbucks. I love adventures. I love the city. Growing up in a suburb of Chicago, I'm very drawn to cities. But yeah, I'm also about all my people.
Mm. Well, thanks for that. Was a great like transition. Now that we have a little bit of background on who you are, I asked you to have this conversation with me today because of some headlines that have been showing up in the news and in the church too. a few months ago, there was a study released by Vox that once again verified that millennials, so I think that's, like, people born in 95 and below, right?
Until, yeah.
Yeah. So that generation is classified as the loneliest generation in America ever. And the statistic that actually shocked me from that study was that 22% of those people said that they have no friends, like zero, which is really shocking. And it made me incredibly sad because I know the power that good friendships can have for people. So that stuff is on top of the studies that have been done about Generation Z, which is the generation above millennials. So really, like, late teens. There has been a ton of studies done about them and the effects of social media and that, what that, does to their friendships, and really just, like, the bottom line is that it's easy for them to lose touch with the real person relationships. So a headline that I saw the other day asked the question, are millennials losing the value of friendship? Like, are we depleting the value of friendship about what it was made to be and what God created it to be? So it got me thinking about why we need to talk about this and why friendship and community are so important and what the Bible says about friendship and community. So when I was thinking about that and processing it, you are just someone that really is great at friendship, and you believe in building them and the power that investing in them can have in your life. So I want to talk to you about that today, but first, so we kind of have, like, a background of how you got to where you are now. Can you tell us about your faith journey and what your childhood looked like, and was Jesus a part of that? When did he come into the picture?
Yeah, so I'm the youngest of four. I think that also puts into my personality of being the baby of a family. I grew up Catholic, so, you know, getting baptized in the Catholic Church, First Communion, and confirmed. Since I was in kindergarten, I did CCD, so every Wednesday night I was at the church. Hated going every Wednesday night. So from what kindergarten through eighth grade, and then every Sunday we were at Mass. I didn't know that I could have a relationship with God during that time. I was, like, I would say I called myself a Catholic. And so it was a thing I had to do, was go to church, go to CCD. Just, like, those were the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like what I thought of this God was, I had to follow all these rules. That's mm-hmm. what I thought of God was. And so when I got confirmed, my parents told me, hey, it's your choice. You get to pick your faith, and kind of, like, not pick your faith, but pick how you continue it or you don't continue it. And so I followed in the footsteps of my brother and sister and just said, hey, I'm going to not continue it. And so then after I got confirmed, there were some things that happened in my family, and I continued to question God. Went to high school, still questioning it. Wouldn't say I was ever an atheist, but kind of was like, huh, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I still believe there is a God, but didn't know how good of a God he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting my sophomore year of high school, I started hearing about this organization called Young Life. Thought it was a cult, gonna be honest. And so all my friends were going to it, and I was like, that's weird, why would you go? And then I got, you know, swept in to go one time and had, like, the best night ever. Friends who I went to CCD with were going. And I was like, huh, interesting. And so, don't remember what they talked about Jesus about. Like, they don't remember that, but I remember who was there, what games we played, and all that stuff. And then fast forward, I went to, like, camp that summer at in North Carolina called Windy Gap. Beautiful camp. And then didn't give my life to Christ. Didn't show any. I kind of was against everything still. But on the way back home, everybody who said yes to Jesus that week got a Bible. I'm sitting on the bus. I turned to my leader, Gladys, and I said, where's my Bible? She said, what do you mean? Like, why do you want a Bible? I said, I want a Bible. Like, why do I want a Bible? Like,
yeah.
I want one because everybody else has one because, you know, FOMO. But, like, why do I want a Bible? And so I get back and she hands me a Bible and writes a note in it for me. I still have that Bible to this day. And that was, what, 9 years ago. And so I continue to go to, like, everything Young Life because I just wanted to be around those people. There was something different about those people. And then that my junior year, went to camp in Michigan called Timberwolf Lake. Met the Lord.
Still a Young Life.
Still a Young Life camp, yes, sorry. Yeah, all of these are basically Young Life camps. Met the Lord because I saw the change that happened to my best friend Bridget in high school.
Mm-hmm.
After she met the Lord. She was different. She was leading. She just had something that I wanted. I was like, there's something different about her. I've known her forever. What's going on? You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so then after that, I dove straight into all things Young Life. I mm-hmm. did work crew. I went to camp again. I chose my college because it had a good Young Life area around it. And so then I went to Calvin College. It was a Christian college. Led Young Life. Wanted to, like, be in a community with Christians because I knew that's what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then kept doing, I don't know, like, everything Young Life that I could. Invested in all the things. Invested in the church. Went to a big, like, mega church in Grand Rapids with my friends, though. Like, mm-hmm. it was a thing that I got to do with my roommates, with my friends, with the people on my hall. And then I, like, volunteered for a whole month, called summer staff in college at Timberwolf Lake, the Young Life camp in Michigan. After my junior year, I interned, which I took a whole summer, and worked there as a SACFAR intern, which that dramatically changed my life because it made me not want to be a teacher. And it made me want to do something else with my life. And then my senior year, I changed my major completely and, like, felt the Lord's, like, calling to that. Just, it was okay. I could still graduate in 4 years, didn't need to become a teacher. And then after I graduated college, still didn't know what I was doing, mm-hmm. like, after college, which is horrifying. And I visited Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is a town in the state of Pennsylvania.
Small town. But, like, college town.
Yeah.
Has a Indiana University of Pennsylvania. It's basically
the only thing in it.
Yeah.
And it's Jimmy Stewart's, you know, hometown. For those of you who know who Jimmy Stewart is.
if not, Google.
True. And so then I went on staff for Young Life College at IUP, mm-hmm. so in Indiana, PA. I was there for a year. And the reason I left after a year, the biggest reason was my community and my work became the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was fresh out of college. All of my friends were college-age students who were also my work then.
Mm-hmm.
And so that wasn't a healthy thing for me. I need my people outside of work. I need separate, like, entities. Like, obviously, I want together, but I also want separate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't want to go home to Chicago because I felt that was safe. Didn't want to go to Grand Rapids because I thought that was safe. So I was like, huh. And Mish literally said, why don't you come to Pittsburgh? I said, all right. And so then that year, so this is like 2017 to 2018, I went out and did this fellowship called Pulse, which is a 11-month fellowship that I lived in community with four other girls. It was my first time living in a non-Christian community. And then I worked at the First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh downtown as their volunteer coordinator. And it opened my eyes to different people than me, but still being in community of. And then I kind of, after that, I wanted to stay at that church, but that didn't work out. So now I'm working at the pediatric therapy company. I've been here for about a year and moved up to Swickley, but really have started to invest in my local church in Swickley and specifically in the children's ministry and loving on the little kiddos who I like want to cuddle every day, all day.
Love that. And your church in Swickley is St. Stephen's.
Yes,
which is a pretty big community to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so your background has a lot of Young Life stuff in it. You worked for Young Life for a period of time. What's, like, the mission of Young Life?
Yeah, the mission statement, if I can, like, exactly remember, is to introduce adolescents to Jesus Christ and help them grow in their faith.
Okay. I thought it was something like that, but It sounds like, to me, like, from listening to you, and obviously, like, I know your story because you're one of my best friends, but the growing in your faith thing is something that has been done through community mm-hmm. and through friendship
yeah.
for you personally. And I think, like, for a lot of people, that's really relatable. Like, it's about the people that you meet and connect with, and that's what discipleship is. So tell me, like, if I were to ask you the question, why are you passionate about friendship and community, what would you say, and does that have anything to do with what the Bible says?
Yeah, so when Sammy gave me these questions beforehand, thankfully, and I was processing
Praise the Lord.
Honestly, I would just be a blubbering mess probably today. And I was processing it this past week, and I didn't connect the dots until now of, like, the reason why I'm all about Jesus is that I understand that I can have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when I, like, when I first met Jesus my junior year of high school, like, it was because, like, oh, he wants to have a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'd follow these rules, and if I don't, then something bad happens.
Yeah, it was so different.
So different. And so, like, I think that's why, I mean, I've been a people person, like, my whole life. Like, I can talk to a wall.
If you meet Allie, she literally will just, she could talk at a wall for hours.
Yeah. I mean, I, like, won't get feedback, and I need that feedback, but, like.
But, like, you're really good at engaging people in conversation.
I try. And so, I think, like, community, I mean, there's all those cliches of, like, we were never intended to, like, be alone, mm-hmm. and, like, just the, I wrote down cliches, and I don't know where I put them, but, like, I think that, like, we were created to do life together, mm-hmm. not to do life alone. And, like, you don't thrive alone. Nobody mm-hmm. thrives. Like, yes, you can be the most introverted introvert, and you still don't thrive alone. Mm-hmm. You still need other interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that in order to, I don't know, to be happy, you usually need to have some type of interaction with another human.
Mm.
And so, like, the Lord, I mean, created, like, He created other people. It's not like, if it was meant to be alone, you wouldn't see other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, this, like, I volunteer at the children's ministry, and we always sing this song. It's, like, probably my favorite song, and I think I'm realizing why, because of, like, the lyrics of it, but it literally says, like, it's, like, a repeating song, but it says, God made me, when you sing God made me, and he loves me, and he wants to be my friend. Forever and ever, he wants to be my friend. Like, my 2 and 3 year olds are, like, singing mm-hmm. that song at church, and, like, they are, it's a simple thing to understand that, like, that's what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be your friend, and in order to do that, like, you need to be in a community of believers
mm-hmm.
to push you to be better and to push you towards the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's, I mean, if you, like, Google community in the Bible, all this stuff, like, there are many, many
so
things
much.
Of, like, I mean, even, I Googled it too, like, in Romans 12, and I did the message version. I always like the message version a little bit better to understand things. Yeah, and it expands more, and it simplifies the words. But, like, at one point in verse 10, it says, be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Like, love deeply. Like, he's telling you how to love better and love in a deeper way. Don't just stay at the surface.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 14, it says, bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy, share tears when they're down, get along with each other, don't be stuck up, make friends with nobodies, don't be the great somebody. Like, right there, it's basically telling you how to be a friend. Like,
mm-hmm.
be happy with them, be sad with them. And, I don't know, I just think I get fueled when
mm-hmm.
I'm with my people.
Mm-hmm.
I get fueled when I'm with my healthy people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should reiterate that. In that I mean, I have FOMO, but, like, I've gotten to a way of, like,
fear of missing
yeah,
out.
Yeah, fear of missing out. I'm an Enneagram 7, if you probably couldn't already tell.
Adventures.
Yeah.
All the things.
And so, I think that community is so important to me because I don't think I would survive this world without my people. I always say this, too, and I've said it to Sammy now that she lives an hour from me, is that I'm not good about being present with people I'm not physically present with. And it sucks to try, but it's worth it, and those friendships that mean the most to you.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. It's okay. Allie talks a lot. We talk a lot. It's fine. One of the things I want to, like, this question is not on the sheet, but I think I know she's horrified that I'm asking her a question that's not on the sheet. But I think it's important to hit on, because when you say, like, God wants to be your friend, like, that's, like, cheesy, right? Yeah. Like, children's ministry. But, like, what does that mean? Because I think, like, when I hear it, I'm like, you're my friend. Like, mm-hmm. we're sitting here having a conversation, mm-hmm. like, about our lives, and, like, we do life together. So, like, that's what I think. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about? Why is that appealing to you that God wants to be your friend?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be friends with everybody. I have this thing of, like, I don't like when people don't like me, and I'm going to fight them until they like me, basically. But when I was, like, thinking about that, I think of when I was leading Young Life in college. I had the same group of girls all 4 years, which was fantastic. But I'd always ask one of them to pray, like, if we had a cabin time or, like, to the Bible study. And they always get uncomfortable mm-hmm. with praying, which I get.
Mm-hmm.
I got it, too, and now I'm like, I can pray in front of whoever.
Yeah.
But I kept... To make them at ease, I would just say, well, what's the difference of you talking to me and you praying? Mm-hmm. Well, that's just way more, like, you know, pressure. And I was like, no, it's you talking to God, like you're talking to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that helped me even become a better, like, out loud prayer. Is that a word? I don't know.
Prayer.
Is that?
Yeah.
Praying out loud. Prayed. I was going to say praying out loud. There we go. And so I think that the type of friendships that we have on earth, where we talk to them, where we get to know them, like, that's exactly what mm-hmm. God wants us to do with Him. And He knows our deepest thoughts. And everybody always says, well, He already knows things. I'm like, yeah, but you still have to tell Him. Like, mm-hmm. you still need to admit to yourself that these things are happening, because He wants to know. He wants to be there for you, but He also is going to, He's going to call you out, like, and make you feel guilty when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that simple thing of, like, He wants, it's cheesy as all, but... He wants to be your friend. Like,
yeah.
The Lord who made everything wants to be your friend.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said about a friend, you get to know them.
Yeah.
So, like, God wants you to read the Bible to find out who He is, not listen to what everyone else is mm-hmm. saying about Him, and really, like, treat Him like you would treat a person you meet and mm-hmm. you're getting to know them. And I think, like, kids have, like, the most pure perspective of what it means yeah. to pray and be friends with Jesus. And one of the little girls that is part of my community, and I spent a lot of time with her family, but she will evangelize to, like, random people at the park, like, adults.
Yeah.
She's six. And she went up to this woman sitting on a park bench and was like, do you know Jesus? And the woman was like, no, like, I don't really, she was kind,
yeah.
and she was like, I don't believe in God, and this little girl was like, oh, well, do you know how to pray? Has anyone ever taught you? She's six, mind you. And the lady was like, no, but, I mean, you can share with me if you want to, and she said, you just, like, say hi to God like He was a person standing in front of you, and then you talk to Him about your day and what's going on and what you're thinking, and then you say, okay, bye, amen. And I think that's, like, a perfect
mm-hmm.
representation. Like, that's what we do when we talk to each
yeah.
other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that picture of it. So, yeah, friendships are important. They're in the Bible. God Himself is relational within the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
He's relational with us. He created two humans at the beginning of time for companionship. That's not just a marriage thing. It's a companionship thing. So, I mean, I guess I want to go in the direction next of, like, talking to people who are having trouble making friends, because I gave those statistics at the beginning, like 20% of people, that's 1 in 5 people, think that they have no friends. Like, they have no one to talk to and, like, to have fun with and to be relational with. So, what advice would you give someone who struggles to invest in friendships or feels like other people don't want to be friends, like, whatever the situation is, what advice would you give them to, like, spur them on, I guess?
Yeah. Having friendships is not easy. It's work. Like I said earlier, like, if I'm not physically present with somebody, it's super hard to stay friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
As often as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, like, it's all about putting yourself out there. Yes, you're going to be very uncomfortable. Yes, you might get rejected. But at least you know that you're the one, also, you're putting in effort. Because you can't just sit there and expect friends to come to you. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the best place for a person to meet other people is, honestly, to get involved in a church. Every church that I know of has a young adult ministry or something to that extent. Their goal is to have young adults, or even, I guess, teeny boppers, too. They all have...
teeny boppers.
I'm thinking about me right now, but they have a group for each age to meet people that around that age.
Yeah.
I think that's... even if you're not a believer, go. Just meet people. And
Young Life is all across the country.
That,
like,
is true.
It's everywhere, basically.
Yeah. I think youth groups are great because everybody's welcomed. And they, from... whoever you are able to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an exclusive thing. Yes, it's awkward. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But I met, like, some of my best friends from Young Life are across this country right now because
mm-hmm.
of all the things I got involved with
mm-hmm.
there. My friends from college are all across the country, too. But, like, I just think putting yourself out there and maybe looking goofy, maybe, like,
mm-hmm.
getting rejected, but it's worth it when, like, you can find, oh, okay, I got this one person out of it, and they're, like, my best friend now. You know, like, I think that's a huge thing. Like, I moved to Indiana, Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
not near a city, and met my best friend, Meech.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
those type of things. Like, you have to go out of your comfort zone, and I think the Lord really blesses that
mm-hmm.
when you are prayerful about it, too, and He is going to
mm-hmm.
give you that.
Yeah, so what's the difference between, like, putting yourself out there, meeting friends, being friends with them, hanging out, having fun when it's convenient for you is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what's the difference between that and then, like, actually investing in people?
Yeah. This one was kind of a hard question for me. And, like, this – and I had to think about it in, like, a actual example of my own
mm-hmm.
life. So I, like, think about it as – there's people in your life who you kind of need to impress.
Mm-hmm.
You have friends that you call friends that you need to impress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is somebody who is just a friend to you. That is
mm-hmm.
not somebody you are getting to know intentionally, but also like here's an example. Like, I don't care what I look like in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I say in front of you because I know you're going to love me no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's the difference of, like, the type of friendship I have with you and, let's say, somebody else. And so I think that, like, if I can't talk to somebody about, like, my real thoughts, they're just a normal friend.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, like, inner circle and outer circle. How about that? I feel
mm-hmm.
like, because I want to call everybody my friend because that's just who I am.
But Jesus had an inner circle.
True.
Like, that's a thing. Like, you have your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my inner circle are the people who I probably talk to at least once a day, not
mm-hmm.
more. They're the ones who I would say I'm truly doing life with. That's also another one of those cliche words or phrases. That know me in my good and know me in my bad. They're ones who I will listen to if they call me out. I won't get mad at them for calling me out. I'll say, okay. And then we might have an argument about it, but, like, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But then the people in the outer circle are ones who kind of know me. I always plan something with them, and it has to be an outing or, like, an adventure type of thing. I would never be, oh, come over to my house and watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, like, the outer circle people who I'm like, oh, wait. Or, like, if they're coming over to my movie, like, when that movie's over, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's always
mm-hmm.
a planned thing. Or my inner circle, it could be a last minute, hey, let's just chat.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's just go do this. Like, let's go to the grocery store together. Like, those little things, I feel like that's a big difference of that has to be a planned outing where, like, has a agenda and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That you just kind of talk about the surface level things, and then the inner circle are the people who you get to know really well, and they get to know you really well.
Yeah, and I think an important thing to point out in this too is like every friendship or relationship you ever form is going to be awkward at the beginning in some way, shape, or form mm-hmm. because you don't know the person,
yeah.
right? So, like, when I started dating my husband, like, that was, like, work. Like, I felt like I needed to really, like, put in work to yeah. get to know him. We couldn't just, like, chill and have it be comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
But in that inner circle of people, you kind of, like, cross a line at some point mm-hmm. that, like, makes it comfortable to just, like, do the little life things with.
Yeah.
And I think you need to be intentional about everyone needs to have those people, you know, because life is gonna bring things, events, suffering, things you don't expect to happen where, like, you might need someone to, like, live with you at your house for
yeah.
a period of time.
Yeah.
And you want to have someone that you intentionally have invested in who has, in return, invested in you
yeah.
to do that for you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, in kind of your, really, like, your personal friendships, but also even your work friendships pertaining to Young Life and, like, building relationships with college students and things like that, this is a big question. Before we started, Allie was like, this was such a hard question. What's the most valuable thing that friendship has taught you?
I was kind of hoping we could skip this one. Obviously, we can't. All right. Yes, this is a hard one. I feel like I'm going to have a couple answers. My gut wants to say, though, that, like, it's not about me. I can't, like, I can't be selfish in a friendship. And I don't want to toot my own horn, I wouldn't say I'm a selfish person a lot of times. I will always put my friends in front of me. And so I realize that because of friendships, and I realize when I've had hard, like, friendships that have gone away, it's like, oh, that was hard. Like, that them leaving was just hard, so, like, I think, like, I put my friends are, I'm very selfless when it comes to friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but also, like, I think that also ties into, like, you can't take advantage of the time you have physically with these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, a year and 2 months ago, we had no idea where you would be sitting right now. You know, like,
right.
You didn't know you're going to be living in Waynesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's just something that, like, you
mm-hmm.
don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, being, you can't be selfless. I mean, you can't be selfish. You can be selfless.
Do be selfless. Erase that backup rewind.
You can't be selfish, like, and you have to give up your time, your finances, your just, like, emotional energy. Your energy in general, like, it is worth it
mm-hmm.
to do that and to fuel, and, like, especially with the people that you get fueled by.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm an extrovert, so, like, I get fueled by people, but when I'm with my real people, like, even if it's sitting down watching a TV show, like, I still get fueled
mm-hmm.
so much from that. And so I think, like, realizing that, like, yes, your friendship, like, you want to get from, too, but, like, it's not about you at this moment. That's at least what I've learned.
And I think when it's a healthy friendship, when you are getting something
yeah.
back from it, because the other person is going to have the same mindset
yes.
as you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not going to be this, like, selfish dynamic.
Which I've had those before, too, where I feel like I was pushing so much into a friendship, and I was like, and then I got to a point where I was like, if they don't try, I'm done.
Right.
So it became the opposite of what I actually wanted it to be.
Right.
So, I think, like, there's so many things that you can learn from friendships, just, like, being open, being honest, like, I mean, I learn so much every day from friendships,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, especially, like, living with a best friend,
mm-hmm.
like, Misha and I live together, like,
mm-hmm.
we bicker like sisters, and,
mm-hmm.
but, like, it's fine, because, like, that's just who we are,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think there's everything I can learn from friendships.
Well, going off of what you can learn. So I love your answer that you said it's not about me. I think that's, like, very, very accurate when you look at who Jesus was. Like, it was never about him, really. Yeah. Like, his relationship with his people, the disciples, really was not about him, you know? So I think, like, that's, it's really smart to echo your own relationships and friendships after that. But what about instances where there's betrayal or conflict or breaking up trust? Like, those things are gonna happen because we both are human. So no matter if we have the mindset, like, it isn't about me, 99% of the time, there's gonna be the 1% of the time where there is a selfish dynamic that comes in.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with being hurt?
Yeah. This is such a weird question, too, I feel like. But
important.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you either retreat or you stay in the friendship and it becomes unhealthy because you're hurt.
Yeah. I feel like I never let a conflict or a disagreement get to a point where I get offended. If I get offended a little bit, like, I bring it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a person who I'm like, hey, well, that actually hurt me, to an extent. But that's, I think, only really with my people.
Mm-hmm.
I do get really sensitive about some things that people say, especially if it's, like, hurting my, like, if they call me a bad friend. Like, that's what, like, gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I try, like, I fight for my friendships. But if there's a disagreement or a conflict, like, I try to kind of get it, like, just nip it right away.
Yeah.
And have a conversation about it. I don't want somebody to say, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I don't like that answer. I want to say, hey, like, I want you to know this is what I thought and what I felt, but what, like, let me know what your thoughts and what your feelings are, too, because we need to have this, like, a communication about it. If you're not communicating with the person, then just that friendship's going to just be unhealthy because you're not talking about what's at it to the core.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, like, I don't, knocking on wood, we've never gotten into, like, a bad conflict, but I think because we are always communicating about things.
Yeah.
I think that's a crucial thing, is, like, you need to always be communicating, even when you get upset or, like, oh, that was a bad one. Like, just be honest about it and say, this is how you made me feel. Like, maybe it wasn't intentional, but this is what my reaction is now, and this is why.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you guys have probably heard, like, this, it's a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. Like, when you, one of my mentors always says to me, like, this is regarding marriage, but, like, it applies to friendships. You, like, don't be so easy to pick up offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, just, like, say that you have picked up an offense, because that one little offense is gonna snowball into, like, a avalanche eventually, you know, and you're gonna pick up bitterness and things that are not of the Lord because that one offense is in your heart against that and that's Satan uses that's poison to your friendship. So the more you can just be okay with bringing it up when, and I, like, am not perfect at this, and with some people I'm better at it than with others, but it can be hard at first, but once that's kind of, like, a habitual thing about your friendships, it becomes much, much easier to do it. So it really is, like, once you, so I think it's habitual. Like, if that becomes something in your relationship that's normal, it's not scary anymore. But it's when that precedent isn't there, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna hold on to this because I don't want there to be conflict in it.
Yeah.
So let's say there's someone, you moved to a new town several times, you went to a college outside of Chicago, left your family, your young life group there, moved to a new state and city in a new environment, made friends there, you moved to Indiana, made friends there when you were in Young Life, then you did your leadership program in the city of Pittsburgh, made friends there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're living in Swickley, investing your community and your church. So you have experience with moving and, like, meeting new people and having the uncomfortable, weird first conversations, like, that they are uncomfortable and weird. So say someone's listening who is going into a new school or they're starting on a new sports team in high school that, like, they don't know anyone at, but they want to meet new people. What is a tip that you would give them practically to do?
I would say don't be afraid with asking questions about that person because it shows that person that you actually genuinely want to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes the weirder the question, the better, because then they think, oh, this is it. Like, this person wants to know a little quirk about me. But I think, like, just being confident and, like, going up to a person, just introducing yourself and getting to know them, because that shows that person what your intention is about potentially starting a friendship with them of, oh, they actually want to get to know me. They just don't want me because I'm good at a sport or I have this type of car. You know, like, they don't want me for my materialistic things. They want to know me as me.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah. Love that. Great transition into my next question because
I'm really good at this.
You're great at it. Great at conversation.
Great at, I meant good transition. Not great at questions.
One of the things I love, one of my favorite memories with Allie is, which is why I'm going to ask her this next question, the first time I met her, well, not the first time, but the first time I actually had a conversation with her, she asked me, like, three really weird questions that, like, no one had ever, like, normally you meet someone, you're like, hey, where are you from? What do? Where do you live?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you up to? Allie asks me, if you could see your favorite band anywhere in the world, where would it be and who would you see?
It was three bands.
Three
bands, where would it be and who would you go with?
Yes. Well, so that's a question, like, very unconventional, but, like, great conversation starter. Like, it was just a very intentional, like, let's have this fun conversation where I, like, learn things about you.
I forgot about that question.
Yeah.
Well, also, thank you to Wilderness Ramps Young Life Camp. When I went backpacking for 5 days with my Young Life girls, that was one of our mealtime questions. So I can't take credit for that question.
So good. No, that's a great point, though. Like, if you're a youth leader, have mealtime questions like that. But, okay, so what are your top three questions that you ask a new friend to get to know them in a more unique way?
So I feel like I'm going to go to the mindset of when I was on Young Life staff for Young Life College, because that was very particular of, like, the age of people I was hanging out with. Well, anytime I meet somebody, I always ask them if they like coffee, and if they don't, I think they're weird. But I always say, oh, let's grab coffee or get whatever you want type of thing. But people who don't drink coffee, I respect you, but I also think you're weird. unless you're, like, you know, not in college yet, then don't drink coffee.
We do love coffee, though. Yes. And this behind the computer screen of recording, we love coffee.
And then I'm going to leave my favorite question for last. And I feel like I always ask, I mean, in general, who they are, where they're from, what they're about. Mm-hmm. And then I always will ask what they're passionate about, because I think people's passions say a lot about what they love, obviously, but who they are to the core. And I do kind of do a second question with that one, asking, are they doing something with their passion currently?
Mm.
If they're not, I always ask why.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was on staff for Young Life College, I would ask the question of, what are you passionate about? And then what are you majoring in? And how does that combine together? And if it doesn't, I say, well, why are you majoring in that? Or I'll ask the dream job, all that stuff. Those were with college students who, that was their next step. But my favorite question that I think I ask everybody and their mother is, what is your love language? For those of you who don't know what the love language is, there are five love languages.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So there's quality time, acts of service, words of affirmation, physical touch, and gifts.
Sure. Yeah, and these come from Dr. Gary Chapman. Mm-hmm. He's a psychiatrist, world-renowned. Like, this book has been on the bestseller list for basically ever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so, okay, five love languages.
So there's five love languages. And some people are like, oh, I think this is mine. I'm like, no. Like, there's a quiz, guys. So
we'll link the quiz.
Honestly, because I think I've gotten coffee with people, or I've talked about it with people, or texting somebody about it, and I would send the link to them right away. Like, when I moved into the new house last year with my fellowship, I made my roommates take that quiz. So I knew better how to love them, which I will be honest, some of them I don't understand. Acts of service. I don't feel loved when you do my dishes.
Which, that's one of my love languages, so.
Yeah. I don't understand that, but I'm going to do it if I know my people love it. Mm-hmm. That's how they feel loved best. Mine's quality time, so that's why I made Sammy physically be present with me during this conversation, not do it over the phone, just saying. But yeah, I think that one is my favorite question to ask, because it gets to how people feel best loved and how I can best love them.
Yes, and I love that we're talking about this, because a huge point of conflict in relationships and friendships is the fact that humanly, like, innately, you are going to love people in the way that you feel most loved.
Yeah.
So Allie Carter's love language is quality time. Therefore, she naturally will try to love me by hanging out with me in person and having quality time with me and having good conversation with me. And I love that, don't get me wrong. But is that necessarily how I feel loved all the time? That's not my love language, so it isn't. So if she wasn't aware of what my love languages were, which are words of affirmation and acts of service.
Will you plug that in real quick?
Just so you know. First thing I told my husband, I think, when we went on our first date, that's my love language. But she's really good at knowing that my love language is different than hers. So words of affirmation are really important to me. So again, when a friendship isn't about you, this is a practical way to do that. Because by knowing a person's love language, you're basically saying, like, hey, the reason I want to know this is so that when I'm trying to do something nice for you, when it's your birthday and I want to make you feel appreciated, I know what you're actually going to receive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a huge thing. So, yeah, taking the quiz is fun.
It's like, it does change. And I will say, your love language does change a little bit. I feel like in the stage of life you're in.
Yeah.
I feel like mine has changed from the first time I ever took it. I mean, quality time is still up there, but, like, I weirdly, like, enjoy other things now. And I'm like, oh, I never thought I would like that, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's cool. It makes you think about, like, in certain situations, what you really feel appreciated by. Yeah, that's a great question to ask. Love that. I think you asked me that, too, the first time we met. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's a place in me and
Mish
went to, like, breakfast one day.
Yes, in Indiana, Pennsylvania, yeah. Okay, so tell us where we can follow you online. And Allie loves pictures. Those of you who don't know her, loves pictures. You love Instagram. Where can we find you?
Well, I have a Facebook. So that's just Allie Carter.
You just make yourself so old.
I don't care. I'm 25, guys. I'm young and proud. Allie Carter, Ally, and then Carter, like it sounds. And then Instagram is Allie Carter, but with two R's at the end, I think. Right? Yes. I wrote it down. Yes. I have a Twitter, but I don't use, like, I deleted the app, so, like, I don't even know what, I think that was, like, Allie Carter 12, but, like.
Not really active.
Yeah, I don't really use it, so.
Awesome.
All the social media I have.
All the social media.
Yeah. Not telling you guys my Snapchat, sorry. That's just kind of weird.
Nothing good really happens on Snapchat these days. Don't go on there.
Don't have a TikTok, so.
Yeah. Ugh. I think TikTok's of the devil for those of you listening. But yeah, okay, so I just really enjoyed this conversation. I think that friendship is something that's really important. No matter what stage of life you're in. And I think that, again, it's friendship is something that has become, in a way, like, harder to do because of the presence of social media, like I said, like, building a friendship with someone is gonna be awkward and uncomfortable at some moments where you're like, I don't know what to say. There's an awkward silence. Like, do I tell them this? Do I not? Like, when you're on social media, there's nothing awkward about that. You know? So that's our default. Is to
just hidden behind something.
Yep. And you don't have to be fully known and seen. So, yeah, I think that, like, being, I mean, you have heard this probably a lot of different places, but, like, being fully known is the only way that someone can really love you in the way that you desire to be loved. That's why Jesus created real friendship, not fake friendship over your phone, where you can hide parts of you that you don't want anyone else to see. So, I think in light of the culture and the fact that, like, really we don't know how to build friendships anymore because of social media and because of phones and all of that stuff. Like, this is really important to get, like, practical. How do I start a conversation with someone? Like, that's something that seems simple to us because we kind of grew up in a generation where social media was just becoming a thing when we were, like, hitting high school. But now it's everywhere, all the time, when you come out of the womb, literally. So
when you come out of the room, TikTok.
Yeah. So you never experience what life is like without it. So it's much harder to, like, intentionally build friendships when you don't have examples of people doing that. And the last thing, I know we're coming up on our time, but the last thing I want to point out is I forget really your story, but you mentioned your young life leader in high school, Gladys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that, I didn't hit on it when you said it, but, like, that relationship was important to you and your discernment of figuring out who Jesus was.
Uh-huh.
That was a friendship, but Gladys was older than you. Following Jesus, really important to have.
And
yeah,
I will
please
say, she just came on that trip because we needed an extra girl leader. She was from Ohio.
Yeah.
Knew my Young Life area director from college. She just came, and she's, like, one of my dearest, like, I called her mom all week. Like, every time I go home, I try to reach out to her.
Yeah.
So, and that was 9 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, even if you're listening to this and you have a church, you have a youth group, you go to a Young Life group, wherever you're connected, and you're not making friends your age in that because of whatever the circumstances are, your leaders are there to be your friend and to find out who you are and to know about you. And they're wiser than you, which is great because you get to talk to someone about real things that probably has some actual practical advice to help you move forward and to grow from wherever you are. So, shout out to Gladys. Just had to say that.
I wish I brought my Bible with me and you could read the note that she wrote to me.
So cool. Yeah, but I just wanted to point out that, like, friendships are just not with your peers. They can be with people who are older and mentors that you have. Those are just as important. So utilize the people in your community. If there's something or someone you think you want to get to know, like,
do it.
Yeah, like just ask them. Like, one of my greatest mentors in my life, I literally was just like, hey, do you want to go to Starbucks with me? And, like, we went to Starbucks and I lived with her for 3 years. Like, she was in my wedding. Like, just extend the invitation because that's the first step you have to take.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Allie. Love this conversation. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course. Thank you so much.
I hope that conversation was as awesome to listen to as it is, as I was to record with Allie and hang out with her. I just felt like I was hanging out with my best friend and chatting about friendship. So it was one of my favorite episodes to to do. But anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I hope that you have a great week. And as always, if you have not rated or given us a review yet, will you do that on iTunes? I would love that. And it really helps get the You Are Made for More message out there. And you can also follow us on social media. All of our pages are at Abundant Life YM. And we hope to see you there. Have a great week, guys. See you next time.